Oh, I love that. Like, wow, wow, wow. My kids can just today, wow, wow, wow. Actually, I find it pretty funny because when he said he would tell his mom, cool it on the meatloaf, I think my kids actually liked my meatloaf. It was bananas. They would say, cool it on the bananas. My kids do not like bananas. I don't get that. If it's banana bread or it's banana muffins, they'll eat it, but that's not really bananas. But we are in an interesting season of parenthood with our kids. Our oldest, Jordan, graduated 2 years ago from college, and he's here in the area working in a job in his field, praise God. Our second son is getting ready to graduate a week from today. He'll graduate, and he already has a job in New York City, so he'll be moving the beginning of July to work in New York City, which is kind of ironic because that's where I grew up. I was born and raised on Long Island, and never in a million years would have thought one of my children would be moving back to New York City. And he, just yesterday, was heading to the beach for his week at the beach before graduation, and he and his friends stopped in Richmond, and they stopped to, I don't know, do some sort of sightseeing, just break kind of thing. And they did their little fun and got back to the car, and the car had been broken into, and their stuff was robbed. And it's like, well, I thought that was supposed to happen in New York City, but little practice here, so, oh, welcome to the real world. And then our third son will be doing an internship in Richmond this summer, so he will not be around. And then our daughter will be graduating from high school in a few weeks, and then she packs up the end of August and heads off to college. So, between moving one of my children to New York and sending off our youngest and our only girl to college, you'll probably find me in a closet somewhere at the end of August just crying. And if you say something to me and I either snap at you or I start bawling, just give me a little bit of grace because we're just going through a transition as parents. So I heard it said that with motherhood, parenthood, the days are long, but the years are short. And it really is so true. Probably some of you young moms think, oh no, the days are not, they feel very long. And I remember those days where the 24-hour day felt like it was about 84 hours. But honestly, the years fly by. So enjoy your children at every stage. All right, we are in week 5 of our Deeper Life series. And just a very quick recap. Merle started off our series on week 1 talking about as we follow Jesus, it requires us to daily take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. And the second week, Catherine spoke out of Luke 9 and challenged us to be believing believers. Week 3, Merle gave another message called All In, and he talked about the sacrifices that we need to make in order to follow Jesus. And we will never be able to out-sacrifice what we get back from the Lord. Whatever we have to give up is so worth what we get back. And then last week, Mike gave a wonderful message on spiritual warfare. All of these messages are out there on our webpage, so if you missed any or if you loved them so much you want to listen again, you can go out there, click on the media link, and find the sermons. Today, we're going to continue in our Deeper Life series by studying a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. So I will have the passage up here. You can follow it up here. You can get it pulled up on your electronic device. You can find it in your old school Bible. If you have an old school Bible, flip to the middle to Psalms and go about 7 more books closer to the New Testament, and you'll find Ezekiel. So let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are a God who breathes life into us, over us, on us, Lord. Thank you that you are a life-giving God. Father, I pray that these words that I speak this morning would bring life, would breathe life to every person sitting here in whatever way and whatever form and whatever area they need it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So before I read, let me just give you a little bit of background on Ezekiel. Ezekiel, his name means God will strengthen. What a great name. God will strengthen. He was a Hebrew from the tribe of Levi, and he was a prophet who would have been a contemporary of the prophet Daniel, the Daniel in the lion's den, that Daniel. So he was a contemporary of Daniel, and about at the age of 25 years old, He, along with all the other Israelites from the tribes of Judah, Levi, and Benjamin, which is probably about 10,000 people, had been taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar and were taken to Babylon. So he was in captivity. He was right in the middle of captivity when he gave this prophecy. He was not sitting in some comfy, cushy place and trying to encourage all the Israelites who are in captivity. He was one of them. He was in captivity. And he was given the unfortunate task of having to prophesy to the people and tell them that basically it was going to be a long time before they came out of captivity. Not a fun prophetic word you want to give. You know, we like to give the, you know, tomorrow, thus saith the Lord, this season will be over tomorrow and you'll prosper. But he was given the job of saying, actually, it's going to be a long time that you'll be in captivity. But in the midst of that depressing news, God gives Ezekiel this vision that many of your Bibles might have a subtitle, something along the lines of the Valley of the Dry Bones, which is actually a really encouraging section and a promise to the people. And I believe that for us today, it's still encouraging and it holds a wonderful promise. So let's read through Ezekiel. We're in chapter 37, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. And this is from the New American Standard Version. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you that you may come alive and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, the sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. So some of you, after hearing that, could be thinking, how in the world does that apply to me? I'm not in exile, I'm not an Israelite, I'm not hoping to get back to my homeland. What is the point of all this? Well, true that maybe you're not an Israelite and you're not in exile, but perhaps some of you today feel that there's an area or areas in your life that are dry as bones. Maybe it's your relationship with the Lord, you're here, you're pretty just flatline. Maybe it's your passion for the Lord. Maybe it's your sensitivity to sin. You know, there's an area that you struggled with, and it used to be that when you were tempted in that area, you could turn and flee from it, and now it doesn't even faze you. It doesn't even bother you to walk into that sin. Maybe there's dry areas with your desire to enter into worship. You come here, and during the worship time, the music time, you don't even enter in. You're looking around. Or you think, you know what, I don't mind getting there a little bit late because we'll just miss worship. Maybe you feel a little dry in your hunger for the word. your joy, your ability to laugh, your motivation, your peace level, your direction for life. It's dry, 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 dry as a bone. And others of you may have people or loved ones, friends, loved ones, classmates, who you have great concern for because you see some dry, stagnant areas in their life as well. I can guarantee you that probably everybody in this room has some sort of dry bones, dry area in their lives, whether it be our life or the life of somebody that we love. And if that's you, I think you're in the right place this morning. Because this passage, I believe, is chock full of encouragement and instruction on how to bring those dry bones back to life. So what I want to do is go back through this passage of Scripture and just take a few scriptures at a time and pull out for you the encouragement that I see in here. Verses 1 and 2, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. Notice that the bones were in a valley. When we think of the valley, we tend to think of, oh, the Shenandoah Valley, it's so gorgeous, it's beautiful. But valleys in Scripture, a lot of times, were not Shenandoah Valley gorgeous valleys. They were actually representing a pretty dark and a hopeless place. Do any of you feel like that's where you are today, in a dark or a hopeless place? Or maybe you have a loved one in your family that you feel is in a dark place, and maybe you're feeling hopeless. If we're honest, we've all been there. If we haven't been there or we're not there now, chances are good at some point we will feel like we're in a valley. So we're in this valley, and the bones, I love this. It's not that the bones were sort of dry. Verse 2 says, and lo, they were very dry. My version, I wish they would have just said, and whoa, they were very dry. These were very dry bones, which probably meant they had been dead and lifeless for a long time. You know, these first two verses might sound kind of depressing, but actually, I think they're really encouraging. Because what I see when I read those two verses is that no matter how deep the valley you're in right now, or how very, very dry the bones are that you're feeling that dry area in, there's not a situation or a person that is beyond God being able to breathe life back into. Even if it's, whoa, those dry bones were very dry, it is not beyond God being able to breathe life back into it. You know, I just feel like that's so encouraging. We could stop right there and be done for the day. And you guys are like, yes, she's letting us out early. No, we're moving on. But that is so encouraging to me. Verse 3. God said to Ezekiel, he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. God didn't ask Ezekiel the question because God wasn't sure of the answer. He asked Ezekiel so that he could get Ezekiel thinking, and so Ezekiel could see, do I believe that God could do this or that he would do this? When God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's doing it to get you and I to think, do I believe that? Do I believe God could do that? Do I believe God would do that? Verse 4. And again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And there is the first of two keys to growing deeper in God and bringing life into our dry places. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Inhale, hear the word, take in the word of the Lord. Inhale, take in the word of the Lord. If we want to grow deep in God, if we want to bring life back into the dry areas of our lives or the lives of others, we have got to hear the word of the Lord. We have got to hear it. We've got to take it in. We've got to inhale it. And we see examples of this and the importance of this all throughout Scripture. In Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Your word I have hid in my heart. I have taken it in. I've heard the word of the Lord. I've inhaled it. I've hid it in my heart that I may not sin against thee." And then in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, Jeremiah the prophet says, "Your words were food, and I ate them." Or the New Living Translation says, "I devoured them." Your words were food, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. What are you doing to eat God's word, to devour it, to inhale it, to take it in? Isn't it amazing how much we can plan and look forward to and anticipate a meal with friends or family, and once we're together, we linger and we take our time, and weeks ago, planned to have dinner this past Friday night with good friends of ours, and so we're having dinner Friday night. Tuesday, we start texting, "Where do you guys want to go?" You know, so we decide, we drove 40 minutes out of town to have dinner Friday night because, you know, half the United States was here at JMU graduation, and so we drive 40 minutes with these friends, and we have dinner, and we linger, and we take our time, and we drive 40 minutes home, and, you know, just had a wonderful time. It wasn't rushed. We had a lot of conversation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we looked forward to our times with the Lord with that much excitement and anticipation? I can't wait to get with God. I can't wait to wake up tomorrow morning and get with the Lord. If we looked so forward to just lingering with God, you know, sitting with our Bible, our devotional, not feeling rushed, taking our time, wouldn't that be wonderful? Most of us are probably not going to have Ezekiel moments where we have this, you know, big, long vision that gets put into Scripture with God speaking this specific. You know, maybe, but in the meantime, how do we do that today? How do we hear the word of the Lord today? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you want to know God deeper, then you need to know His Word. Get into His Word daily. Hear the Word of the Lord. How do I do that? You can do a Bible reading plan. I mean, the church is going to give us one here in another few weeks, a Bible reading plan, a devotional, a Bible study, scripture memorization. There are so many creative ways to hear the word of the Lord. Breathe in the word of the Lord in order to grow deeper in God and in order for dry bones to come alive. Verses 5 and 6. "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord." God tells Ezekiel what to say to the bones, and he gives him the promises to speak over the bones. And notice, who is breathing life back into the bones? God is. God says, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you. I will put sinews on you. I will." Having the quiet time, reading the scriptures, scripture memorization, those aren't the things, the acts aren't what pleases God and what breathes life into it. It is the Spirit of God. Let's not get caught up in, well, if I do all these things, then, because that would be, you know, all of our deeds are as filthy rags. It's God who breathes the life back into us. God gives us literal life, and God gives us spiritual life. Verses 7 through 10. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet an exceedingly great army. I love these verses in this passage. This is 7 through 10 is like my favorite part of this. It's so interesting that in verse 7, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied. And then in verse 10, he said, so I prophesied. And there is the second of the two keys of growing deeper in God and breathing life into our dry bones. Speak the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord. Exhale. Speak the word of the Lord. Exhale. We inhale and we breathe in the word of the Lord. We hear the word of the Lord, and then we exhale and we speak it out and we claim those promises and we walk in those promises and we act on those promises. And it says, so I prophesied, and what happened? The bones began to come together. Life began to emerge. There is incredible power in speaking God's word. Things begin to rattle and come to life when we speak the promises of God. God created the entire world by speaking it into existence. Psalm 33:9, the psalmist says, for he, God, spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, if you have faith, say to this mountain and it will move. He didn't say, if you have faith, sit around and read about how mountains move and think about that would be really cool and imagine it. It says, if you have faith, say to this mountain, speak it. There is incredible power in speaking the word of God. We inhale, we hear the word of the Lord, and then we exhale, and we say and we speak the word of the Lord. Okay, we're going to have a little contest here. If you are physically able, we're going to have a contest and see who can hold their breath the longest. Okay? So I'm going to say, ready, set, go, and then we're all going to hold our breath. Okay? Ready? Get set, go. Okay, I have to keep preaching so I can't keep holding my breath. Y'all can breathe now if you want. I don't really have a prize or anything. It's strictly a sermon illustration, because you could audibly hear probably 99.9% of you when I said ready, get set. What did you hear right before go? Everybody took a huge breath. They inhaled. But you know what? No matter, and if you have not exhaled yet, could you please exhale, because I'm going to start getting nervous. If I see any blue faces, I'm going to start panicking. But, you know, when I said go, you could audibly hear. But at some point, you have got to exhale or it will kill you. You have to exhale or it will kill you. But some of us are walking around spiritually holding our breath. And we hear the word of the Lord and we take it in. And we hear the word of the Lord and we take it in some more. But we're not exhaling. We're not speaking it out. We're not acting on it. We're not claiming it. A deeper life in God comes by speaking forth the promises of God that we've heard and inhaled. Hear the word of the Lord. Inhale. Speak the word of the Lord. Exhale and repeat. And if you're lacking for promises to claim, here's a great book I recommend. It's called The Holy Bible, and it's full of God's promises. Hear the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord and repeat. Speaking those truths over the dry areas in our lives, speak those truths over the people in our lives that we're concerned about. Speak those truths and apply those truths. What does that look like today? Praying scripture over a person that you're concerned about or a situation in your own life. Again, this book is full of promises. Find one that pertains to your situation, and if all you can do is just keep reading that scripture over and over again, then do that. Exhale, take it in, and then pray that scripture, that promise, over your dry bone area. Another thing is memorizing scripture. I'm a very task-structured person. I have a list for the week, and then I have a list for the day, and, you know, that's just how life works for me. I get a lot done that way. And so every day as I'm doing my list for the day, on the flip side of it are the, just a little nerd alert, but I write my scripture verses out that I'm trying to memorize, because when you keep writing something for days and days and weeks, like, you memorize it that way, because I'm writing it every day over and over. And then when I feel like it's in my heart and in my spirit enough and the Lord makes a new scripture jump out at me, I change verses. So it works. You know, memorizing scripture is really important. And quite honestly, we are without excuse to say, I can't do that. Because how many of you memorize jingles that come from commercials? You memorize music. You memorize, some of you have watched movies enough times, you can recite movie lines, you've memorized that. And I guarantee you, everybody in this room, you've memorized passwords that get you into your phone, into social media, into your bank accounts. You can memorize. We just need to we're choosing whether to do it or not. And it's a great way that we can hear the word of the Lord and exhale, speak the word of the Lord, apply it, act on it. It's really interesting that back in verses 5, back in verses 5 and 6, God tells Ezekiel, I will cause breath to enter in. I will cause breath, and I will put breath in you. So Ezekiel speaks the things that God tells him to do, but then in verse 8, it says, and I looked, and behold, there was no breath in them. What's up with that? God, you just told me, say these things, and I will speak breath into them. So he says, I did, but there was no breath in them. And then in verse 9, he said, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. And down in verse 10, then it says, and it would be an exceedingly great army. What I love about that whole passage there is, you know, God, you said I should speak over them. I do. There's no breath. And then God says, okay, speak this to the breath. So he does, and then the transformation happens. What I see in there is the transformation whether it's something in our lives or in the lives of somebody else, is very often coming in stages. Sometimes it's the instantaneous, but sometimes we have to take one step of obedience and God does something, and then we take another step of obedience and God does something. Your transformation, your life being spoken into the dry bones in your areas, in the areas of your life, can often happen in stages. Don't give up and don't quit. Keep inhaling God's word and exhaling God's word, speaking it out over your situations. Keep inhaling his promises and speaking out his promises over your situation. And then verses 11 through 14. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord." Verse 11, I love that. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, and behold, they say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off.'" Wah, wah, wah. Whine, whine, whine. How many of us ever sound that way? Okay, I do sometimes. There's three of us who, thank you. You know, that is how we can get when God doesn't seem to be moving right away. Just a little whiny and a little pouty. And in verse 12 and 13, don't miss this. Do you notice how many times he says, "Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves." And then in 13, he said, "Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves." Don't miss this. Graves. We are talking about dead as dead can be. This was dead. We are talking about dead. But the encouragement here is that God is thoroughly capable of bringing very, very dry bones and even dead hearts back to life. I love that. Graves, we're talking dead. There is no situation, no level of dryness or even graves and dead that is intimidating to God or that's beyond his reach. And all this happening in the valley doesn't intimidate him either. He's there in the valley with very dry bones, bringing them up out of their grave. It doesn't matter how dry or how dead a situation in your life may be, it is not beyond God to speak life back into it. And his promise to the people in verse 14 still holds true for you and I today. "I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life." I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. Inhale. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. Exhale. Speak out those promises. Claim them. Walk in them. Apply them. And repeat. Inhale. Exhale. Repeat. And as you do, I believe you will deepen your walk with the Lord and you will see dry bones come to life. To close, I just want you to listen to this song. I heard it a couple weeks ago and I was in the kitchen, our computer's in the living room, and had Pandora on, and
I heard it playing, and I just came out of the kitchen. I thought, what is this song? And I just sat and listened to it. It's actually what stirred this message for today. So we're going to play it. We're going to have the words up there. If it helps for you to follow with the words, great. If you just want to close your eyes and listen, just let the Lord speak and minister to you, challenge you, encourage you, however, through this song. And the way we're going to do ministry right afterwards is I'm just going to dismiss the people who feel they want to be dismissed, but we're also just going to play this song again quietly, and ones who would like prayer, that's how we're going to do ministry. So for right now, just listen and let the Lord speak to you through this song.